Peki düşmezse bir mor yakın. Peki düşmezse bir yakın. Şöyle bir şey. Sağlık. Hoşlayın dostlarımız. Amin bir versin. Okay, everybody. Welcome, everybody. Nice to see everybody. First, yes, full live share. And yes, Akiva Pappas to give us the last date that we were here. Right before Purim. Not last Purim, the Purim before. Okay, so it's good to see old faces, new faces. Okay, so first thing we're going to do is pass around the sign-up sheet so everyone can write their name and their cell phone. So I'll get to learn the names and get to, you know. And, well. Yeah, you can close the fan. Yeah. And good to see everybody. We're going to be learning this limud, a different limud than the regular limud of the yeshiva. Learning in Yonei Halacha L'maisa. Like Rabbi Willis said, everything really could be Halacha L'maisa, but this is more so. In the Masechta Avodah Zarah, different sugyas of kashrus. We're going to start off with Chol of Yisrael, which could take us a nice, you know, these are things that are nogeh to life, and which usually people never learn. Or like Rabbi Dana Yara said, they could learn very superficially, but never know what the whole sugya is all about. So these are opportunities that we have. I'd like to get to know everybody. I live here in the neighborhood. I live across the street. So, you know, you can come for Shabbos meals. I mean, this Shabbos will be an in Shabbos. So, you know, but in general, please let me know if you're a person who stays for Shabbos. You can come for meals, meals, whatever, singular, plural. You know, I live here, so I'm here most of the time. Usually in the library on the fifth floor in the afternoons. And I like to get to know everybody. You know, the purpose of this year is not just learning whatever lima there is, but making a connection, making a kesher between Rebbe and Talmud. We have the shtender there, the new shtender. This is the new one. So where's the Donnie Morris then?
Oh.
See. Yeah, is that it?
Yeah.
There's a new stand I just noticed today. Zeche Nishmas, Donnie Morris, MTA 20. His father, Aryeh Morris, was a Talmud in this year. So I think it's he learned the Shema. You know, he was in the Meiron, like Omer fiasco from last year. He was a korban of that, unfortunately. And we have him in mind in our learning. And as I said, Donnie's father was in the Shir. And the Shema should have a yeah, Bacha, Nachman Daniel, and Aryeh Tzvi. Okay. We'll let you know exactly what the schedule is. I'll let you know. Today we're having the shir. Tuesdays is usually our early day. Could be one other. We'll see. But right now today's shir is 1:30 to 2:30. We have mincha after, and as I said, please feel free to come over to me and ask, you know, I'll be happy to schmooze with you, happy to, you know, discuss learning with you. We're fortunate to have two shear assistants, Rav Silberger and Rav Shitris. I'm going to raise your hands so people know who you are. So if you have any questions about the shear, about your chavrusa, or about... you know, anything, please contact them. This base medrash is a very warm base medrash. It's a smaller base medrash, and so we was zocher for that. So it's good to see you all. Usually on Thursdays we also have a chumashir from 2 to 2:30. In addition to the depending on the schedule, how we'll do it. But right now, let's see. To Tuesdays, we have our early day. We have shiur from 11 to 12. And that's the story. Okay, so we have everything. We do everything inside. We usually have the packets on the computer, right? Does everyone... have a laptop, so you have the packets here, and okay, and we'll also have some shiurim minyanei deyoma, Shana Yom Kippur. As we usually on Sundays, we have halacha shiurim that are not necessarily part of the regular shiur that we had during the week. We're still going to continue the topic of Kavod Onik Shabbos from last year, but that's not till after the Yom Tovim, because they'll still before the Yom Tovim, we'll stick to the Yom Tovim, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, things like that. Before the Yom Tovim. Okay, so we always start with a niggun. So we'll start with our niggun. We only, for the newcomers, as someone said, we don't do the niggun every day. It would be nice, maybe. But we do it at the beginning of the Zman and whenever there's a big hefsek. Like when we come back after Yom Tovim or after intercession or things like that, that's when we do it, sing it again. Okay, and the shiur is for participation. It's not a lecture. So please feel free to ask questions, and that makes the shiur more interesting. And again, it's not a lecture, so everything is inside. And as Hashem, we should have a lot of siyata d'shmaya, have good health. People shouldn't have any problems with any types of, health issues. Everyone should be healthy, as Hashem. Those that are not here, if anyone is able to turn on their cameras so I can see them, it makes it easier to give shiur when I can see a person. Chatila, to actually see them right here live, but if some people who don't live close enough, so it's at least we could see their faces, etc. Okay, so we'll start the niggun and then we'll go right into the word. Novinu Amirachem, Rechem Aleinu, Rishem Elibeinu Vida, Lehavinu Leaskil, Avinu Avarachem, Amirachem, Rechem Aleinu, Salmo Torah Secha Biago Lishma Lil Pflodu Lelameid Lishma Vilasos Ulekayim Reskaldi Rey Salmo Torah Secha Biavo Welcome. Please introduce yourself. From a Talmud. That's the most important thing. But you know what Rav Goldbach used to say, the Rosh Hashiva of Karen Biavna, of Karen Yaakov Goldbach? One Yisod. We should remember that Yisod forever. This is the Yisod. Three words. Ein Talmud l'sha'avar. There's no such thing as a previous Talmud. Once a Talmud, always a Talmud. Ein Talmud l'sha'avar. That's what I think Rabbi Will said in his name. That's what Rav Goldberg said. So Rebbe Talmud relationship is not only a 1 year thing, a 2 year thing, it's a lifetime relationship. So, Be'ez Hashem, and that's we should resolve that to have. So, we thank you for your photography and your coming. Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Rav Simon, could you dedicate this year to my grandmother's yurt site today?
Rav Harari's grandmother's yurt site is today, so we're going to dedicate also the shir to Eloi Nishmasa, and the name is?
Sarah Chana? Rav Shmuel Tzvi Hirsch HaKohen.
Bas Rav Shmuel Tzvi Hirsch HaKohen. Okay. Shama should have an aliyah.
Amen.
Okay. So we're going to start with the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah Lamed Hey Amid Beis. Elu Devarim Shel Ovdei Chachamim Asurim Ve'ein Isurim Isur Hana. So certain things that Chachamim prohibited, and it's an Isur Hana. In other words, not only you can't eat the thing, but you can't get benefit. But some things are only an Isser Achila. Only an Isser Achila. So the Mishnah now is going to give us examples of things that are only a Isser Achila. And not an Isser Hana. So what the first thing the Mishnah says, Cholav shecholvo ovei kachavim ve'ein Yisrael ro'eihem. That a milk that was milked by a goy milked the animal, Ve'ein Yisrael ro'ehu, and but there was no Jew to witness the milking. So since there was no Jew to witness the milking, so the simple shot is that maybe we have to be afraid that some non-kosher thing was put into it, non-kosher milk was put into it, and so even if indeed it didn't happen, doesn't matter, because Chachamim made this gezeirah. So therefore, it's like, you know, we have the concept like bishul akum. So bishul akum, you could have totally kosher ingredients, but the goy cooked it, bishul akum. So since it's totally kosher ingredients, and it's Mishalachim. It is awesome because it doesn't have to do. At the end of the day, there might be hashoshos that non-kosher things were put in, but in the end of the day, even if they weren't put in, you don't say, "Oh, well, in the end, it was kosher." You know, there's certain things that Chachamim made gezeira, and so therefore, if you have milk, Chol Shachol Va'akum, Ve'ein Yisrael Ro'eyu, is also Ba'achila, not Ba'hanoa, also Ba'achila. So the question is, as that's what's going to be the discussion of the post-game, but what if we know that it's not true? Meaning we know that there's no chashash. There's no chashash. Say there's no non-kosher milk in this vicinity. There's no non-kosher animals that produce non-kosher, you know, pig's milk, whatever it might be. And is it still? And what about this discussion of the contemporary discussion, like Rav Moshe has? What if you live in a country where we do, where there are rules, there are laws that you can't have other forms of milk? Would we say if it goes away? Or do we say no? So, I mean, it could be the Chachamim was sakin in a situation where it was a chashash, but maybe once they were masakin it, they were masakin it. You know, like we'll discuss, like if Shech discusses the concept of refuah b'shabbos. You're not allowed to take refuah b'shabbos. Why can't you take refuah b'shabbos? Because you might come to grind herbs. Now, as much as there's no way. If I'm going to take a pill, therefore I'm going to go grind herbs. That's, you know, very remote. But there is a concept, like Rav Shapiro likes to quote here. Let's take a look at the Gemara on page 3. Gemara on Beitza, hey, I'm an Aleph, please look. Where they ask, look 3 lines down from where I began the packet. The chol dover shebimidin tzarech min achel atiro. In other words, which means that if the Chachamim got together and they convened the Yeshiva's Bezdin to aser a particular thing, so then it's aser. And it doesn't even, and as Rav Shechel points out, the pshat is even if the reason no longer is applicable, that's called a Dover Shebimin. And unless you have one, another minion, another Bezdin of, that could be even bigger, or this, you know, it kind of doesn't get repealed automatically. If you want, we should take a look in the Rambam. In Perek Beis, let's take a look at Rambam. Perek Beis, Hilchas Mamrim, Halacha Beis. Let's take a look. Fascinating Rambam. You got it on page 5. Bezdin Shagozru Gzeira. Bezdin made a Gzeira. O Shetiknu Takana. In Higu Minav. They did a Gzeira or a Takana or a Minav. And it was accepted in Klal Yisrael. The Omer Achrein Bezdin Acher, and now another Bezdin wants to come. Ubikesh Levatal Dvar Marishonim, and they want to repeal the Takan of the first Bezdin. V'lakor osa takana v'osa v'zeir v'osa bina. Einu yochol ad she'egodol min harishonim b'chachmu v'midah. They have to be greater than the first one, b'chachmu uv'minyan.
Rabbi, who decides that?
What?
Who decides that? If they're godol.
Who decides who's greater?
Yeah.
Who decides who's greater? So let's read a little bit more to see. One second. Afilu bitel hatam shebiglolo gosru harishonim or huskinu ein hachroni micholo vatel achi yu gedolim mehem. So even if the reason is no longer applicable, a feel batal hatam. Let's give a good example. This is, you know, I think Rabbi Osai, as it's, people have said, others have pointed out, this one halacha in the Rambam probably is one of the core definitions of the difference between, say, orthodoxy and other branches of Judaism. And I'll give you an example. Yontif Sheni Shel Golias, right? So that was, say, a takana that was made, and it was made at a time that there was a real doubt of when the, but it's clearly that the reason is really not applicable to Zman Hazeh. I mean, we don't have a doubt the time is, I mean, today we have this communication that with a split second, anything that happens in the world is already knowledge throughout the whole globe in a half a second. Something happens in China, the whole world is, but that's the thing, that it was made. Now, Dr. Presby is asking, so we're assuming that the time that the Gzeira was made by the Chachmei HaTalmud, that those people were greater. I don't know if than the people of today. And therefore can't appeal it until we're greater. So this basically is a question where the Chol of Yisrael is part of this Rambam. See, if Chol of Yisrael is part of the Rambam, so you could say, well, today it doesn't apply because we live in America and America has rules and there's no way that anyone's putting pig's milk in my carton of milk. But if you say, others say, some other Rabbanim have said, that maybe it's a Davar Shem Minyan. Maybe Chol of Yisrael is the same thing as Yontif Sheni. In other words, how do you know? In other words, to say that, the idea that people have, that maybe it shouldn't apply anymore because the reason is no longer applicable in certain countries, in certain locale. Say it's a Davar Shem Minyan, like some Rabbanim have said, that it should make a difference. And then we would actually need some type of Sanhedrin or time of, like Shlomo Zalman said, certain things maybe in the time of Yimos HaMashiach, and then they make a Sanhedrin repeal. But short of that, whereas the other branches of Judaism say, no, why should we keep Yom Tov Sheni? Right? The other branches of Judaism did away with Yom Tov Sheni. And that's why sometimes I feel that we have to be even more machmir in certain things, like because people, it's a slippery slope. Like I feel like kidneys is something that people have, you know, having a difficulty with. You know, people have this attitude, you know, enough with the kidneys. You know. These inyanim, where the, you know, but Rav Soloveitchik had his famous thing about Korach. I think Rabbi Bezin printed it. It was called, what do you call it? The Common Sense Rebellion. Common Sense Rebellion. In other words, makes a logical argument. You know, why should Moshe Rabbeinu be in charge? Call it Eda Kulam, you know? So this is a very, but we'll see. It's not so poshut. Maybe it's not a Dover Shebe Minyan. And how do you know? So we have to start learn the Gemara and see if there's any place in the Gemara where we could, get any insight into whether it's considered a Dover Shebe Minyan or not. So the first thing we need to do is learn this piece of Gemara. And go, it's not a long piece. And we'll see where we get. And then maybe that'll give us insight of whether it's a Dovah Shebe Minyan or not. Okay? So let's learn. So in fact, the Gemara, Cholov Lamay Nechashla. Because what do we have to be choshish with all of Israel? What's the chashash? Why did they ask? If you're saying we're going to be afraid that they're going to get switched, in other words, kosher milk would be switched with non-kosher milk. So when you're going to get your carton of milk, and you assume you're getting cow's milk, you're really getting pig's milk. And there was no Jew present to see the milking. So where do I know? You see, if there was a Jew present, then Shalom al Yisrael. There was a Jew present, and he was there. You know, Eirecha Nema Misur. But if not, then maybe we have to, you know, so the Gemara says, Tar Chivar Tame Yarok. That no, that kosher milk is a different color than non-kosher milk. What does Chivar mean? Chivar. What? Clear, white. Kosher milk is Chivar. But Tame is Yarok. What does Yarok mean? Rashad pointed out, Yarok really doesn't mean green, because I never saw green milk. If I did, I don't think I'd want to drink it. You know, it's but it's like a pale, like a yellowish, Rashad pointed out. Rashad pointed out when the Gemara says Yarok Akarti, green like a leek, that means that means green, Yarok Akarti. But and this, you know, is a very big question that comes up very shortly. What is the halachic status of a green esrog? What is the halachic status of a green esrog? So there's a big machlokas a poskim. Some poskim hold that it's fine, right? As long as it's going to turn to yellow. Even though it's not going to turn to yellow maybe until a couple of months later, because they hold that that green is not a pursuit. It's just that if it's turned to yellow, it means it was fully grown, fully developed. So even though it doesn't have to be yellow now, but the other shita is in the poskim that it has to be that green is a pursuit in the color. So therefore, if you don't have a yellow esrog, it's possible. It's the wrong color. And so that's a big Rav Shach is very machmir because there's a tshuva from Rav Chaim Volozhiner where he asked green esrog. So Rav Shach is very into that that tshuva.
Wasn't Esther Malka Yerok?
Yeah, Esther,
well?
Rav Shach always likes to put Esther Yerok Rokas, I suppose. So Shechter said it doesn't mean she was green. It means she had like a lighter complexion, like a yellowish complexion. But not that she had a green face.
Oh.
Right. So, right. So that, you know, that discussion about the green, many post-im say that it's okay. The soul of green is only because it wasn't fully developed. But it's fully developed, it just, you know, didn't get to the stage of it turning green yet. That's okay. And the other sheet that says, no, green is a psul in the color. So you have to have a yellow esrog for the mitzvah. So that's a big in the poskim. Many people are mako because they do, it's machlokas. That's a Bach. I think the Bach is Machmir, and others are Mekelon. But when the Gemara says over here, the Gemara says, "What's your problem? Why are you so afraid that there's non-kosher milk here?" The kosher milk is white. Tommy's Yarok. So if you're going to be afraid that somebody put in non-kosher milk, you'll look at it and you'll see the color. So what's the answer to that? Imishum iaruve, maybe you have to be choshesh that it was mixed in. Maybe the non-kosher milk was mixed in with the kosher milk. And therefore, it'll still be a problem. Right? So maybe that's why we still have to worry. So the Gemara says, Nekum. What does Nekum mean? Let's take something acidic and change the milk into cheese. And what's that going to help? The Amamar Cholof Tahar Omeid, Cholof Tomei Eino Omeid. That kosher milk could be changed into cheese, but non-kosher milk cannot. So that's a solution. In other words, if you're afraid of that they switched it totally. So you look and see the color. And if the color's okay, it should be okay. If you're afraid that they mixed in, so then why don't you just make it into cheese and see if it becomes cheese? Because if it's non-kosher milk there, then it won't change, it won't be able to physically come into cheese. Says Rashi, Nekum Yamidenu al yidei keva lagvina. In other words, what will you do? You'll take the stomach of the animal and you'll put it in the milk. The stomach has the acidity, and that'll cause the milk to change into cheese. And then, but that'll only work by kosher milk. So if it's not kosher milk, it won't work. And that's it. So the Gemara says, "Iket the kaboy l'gvina hachanami." But that's only going to work if you want to use it for cheese. Say you don't want to turn it into cheese. So then, how are you going to know? If the person wants it for cheese, then in a hanami, you have a good solution. You have a good solution. Do this trick, and then you'll know. But if you don't want it, how are you going to know, Arav? What ever happened to the sign-up sheet? Did it ever make it its way? Is it finished? Everyone signed? If you can, please bring it. Someone can just pass it. Thank you. Yeah, Arav. What's the question? Is that kosher to do that? Yeah. So Bloom asks a question, and this question is the tshuva of Rabbi Akiva Eiger and Simon Reish Zayin. So we're starting off good here. We're asking Rabbi Akiva Eiger's questions. Okay. Well, I'm not going to answer you now, but basically you're asking about maybe that will be considered Basar B'cholof because the stomach is Basar. And then you're putting it with Cholof to make cheese. Maybe cheese will be Basar B'cholof. So that's an excellent question. And maybe I'll give you the answer one of these days.
Can't we get a guy to taste the milk? And we can trust him, whether it's milk or cow's milk or pig's milk?
Oh, so Dr. Presby, Shlita, says that, that why don't you get a guy? Now, that's a very problem. Now, first glance, you know, we always say, get a guy. Shabbos, get a guy, just get a guy. But the problem with getting a guy, as we'll see, is who says the guy has nemanus? The guy doesn't have nemanus. Even Jews don't have nemanus if they're not observant, right? In other words, if a person doesn't keep kosher, this comes up. This is a very important shaila. That words, somebody doesn't keep kosher, then you can't trust their kashrus. Rav Shacht always points to the Mishnah in Chorus. A choshed al hadavar, lo dano v'lo me'ido. And if somebody is choshed on something, he's not neman. That's a big question. If somebody grows up in a house that's not, parents aren't observant, but for their kid, they're willing to make the house kosher. I mean, sometimes they're not willing to do that, but let's say they're willing to do that. So the question is, are you still allowed to eat in that house? So Rav Moshe has a tshuva about the concept of kimli begave. That if a person says, I know this person, I trust. It's not like I'm trusting somebody I don't know. So even though technically they don't have them on us, but kimli begave, that I trust them. So Moshe has a tshuva about a kid. The parents were communists, so they weren't you know believers. They weren't servants at all. But he knows he has a relationship with his parents, and they have an understanding, and he trusts them that they're not gonna. So maybe that would trump the idea. But it's not. But Stamagoy, maybe not. Right? You see, sometimes we believe goyim by the rabbanans, but this is a daraisa. If you're feeding pig's milk, then it's a daraisa. So that's the question. So if you're going to need it for what? If you're going to need it for cheese, so then we have a simple solution. Just try to make it into cheese. And if it works, then you know that it was kosher milk. And if it doesn't work, you know that it was some treif was mixed in. So the Gemara says, he needs it for some type of milk dish that's not cheese. So therefore, how's he going to use it? If he didn't have Yisrael Roeyu, so then maybe if a guy milked the cow and there was no Jew overseeing it, then maybe that's a reason why you can't, because we're afraid that the guy poured in a non-kosher milk in the kosher milk together. So now the Gemara asks, Nishko Binei. Kali Rashi says, Ma'at. No, so what you do is just take a little bit out. You don't want to use it for cheese, but you'll take a little bit, you'll make that cheese, and that'll be Megala on the whole mixture. Right, so why did you do that? Poppers? How well? Oh, so we're going to get coming attractions. So the Gemara says, what we should do is, Nishkol minei kali v'neiko. So let's just take a little bit and use that as make that into cheese and see if it works. And then if it works, then we'll know the whole thing is good. If it doesn't work, then we know that it's bad. So the Gemara says, Kaven de Bitar Nami Ikenis Hubi Lokai Mi Lekele Mekam Ola de Milsa. Rashi. So what's his response? Why can't you just take a little bit out? So he says, because even when you make kosher milk into cheese, there's still always something that doesn't become, in other words, the cheese doesn't 100%, the milk doesn't 100% become into cheese. But there'll still be cheese and some milk that never made it to the cheese stage. So since there's still going to be something, so then you'll never be able to know. Because even kosher milk doesn't 100% become. So if you're going to just take out a little bit, you're not going to be able to tell. So if you're going to try to make it into cheese, that was the original plan, do that, right? But, right, you're saying, but even kosher milk doesn't totally Well, if you're gonna, if you want it for cheese, so you'll turn the cheese, make it into cheese, and if it becomes cheese, you'll know that it's kosher. And the leftover, we'll assume is also kosher, because not everything. But he's saying that if you can only take a little bit, right? If you're not going to be able to do an experiment on the whole thing, which you won't be able to if you're not eating the whole thing for cheese, then just to do a little bit is no raya, because a little bit could still be kosher. Because even when you make the whole thing into cheese, there's still some things that remain. Since we, if we make the whole thing into cheese, then we know it was kosher. And there's a little bit left that wasn't. So that could have been kosher also. Levi save a few tables to compile it with Vina. So the first thing he says, well, if you don't need it for cheese, you're not going to be able to tell. So why don't you take a little bit? Then you can't tell. Levi save a few tables to compile with Vina. That's your question. Even if you say he wants to make cheese out of it, Ike Dekai Bailey Rashi. Beni Atri, betoch hagumos shebegvinim hashin shem mechov tome shalo omech lishayma esyobi megumos. So then he says, no, he says that even if you want it for cheese, it's not going to be because there's a possibility that you make it all into cheese and the part won't. And maybe that part was from the non-kosher. So there's a possibility that it was from the kosher and not everything becomes into cheese. But the other possibility is that that part was because there was a non-kosher milk that was put in there, and that's why the whole thing didn't. So whenever you make cheese, and there's going to be some part that doesn't become cheese, so it could be one possibility is that part is kosher, but even kosher doesn't completely turn in. Or the other possibility is that's treif. That's why it's determined.
But then, is the Gemara saying that we can't sample? I mean, so, we do sampling.
Not only we can't sample, because the sample, if we're going to take a little bit out, that doesn't mean anything. But even if we're going to make the whole thing into cheese, we're still not going to be able to to know for sure that it was. Even if it turns into cheese, but a part of it usually doesn't turn into cheese. And then that part could, it's a possibility that's kosher, but it's a possibility it's non-kosher. So the only way we'll be able to do it is to what? Is to have Yisrael Roeh. That's the Gemara. So what do you see from this Gemara? Regard to our question, is Chol of Israel a Dover Sheba Minyan or not? What do you think? what's your name? Wait a second, you're on the list. Zachary Attenstein. And you're from Newishow 914.
Yeah.
Newishow. Yeah. I'm good at area codes. 561, Florida. Because but what do you see from the Gemara? Yeah, if the Jews watching, of course, there's no problem. If the Jews watch, that was the Gzeira. But the question is, what if a Jew is not watching? So do we say that still it's us? Because even though we might know the facts, but it's a just like I can't eat can't take the medicine, even though I'm not going to come to, it's a, what you call unilateral. So what do you see from here? From this whole sugya that we just learned. What's your name? Mordechai? Second, let me see you. Scheinson. You're also from New Rochelle? Hillside. Why do you say that? Oh, Mordechai Scheinstein. Give him a cigar. So as he says, sorry, you see from the Gemara, because we're saying, well, try this, try that. And the answer is that there's always a way that you can question still. Right? But why doesn't the Gemara just say it? It's a Dovah Shem Minyan. So what? I try this, I try that. It's Pashut from the Gemara that the Gemara was not assuming that it was a Dovah Shem Minyan. Because if it was Dovah Shem Minyan, then all these questions, the simple answer would be that it's a Dovah Shem Minyan. What do you say? You like what Mordechai is saying? No, what do you say about Mordechai? Mordechai shines. It's good. Good gezuk. What does the Gemara say when someone says good? How does the Gemara say? Shapir kam. Because the Gemara says more. Moshe shapir kam. That's the Gemara says in Shabbos. Moshe shapir kam. What's the pshat? So the Archaim HaKadosh says, because every Talmud Chacham throughout the generations is part of the Neshama of Moshe Rabbeinu. So even though your name is not Moshe, Moshe Shapir Kam. No? This sugya seems to assume that it's not a Dovah Shem Minyan. Because if it would be a Dovah Shem Minyan, then all the questions would just fall aside. Unless you tell me that the Gemara was only saying it, the word's not even need to get onto that. I'm just telling you, it's refuting it misvara. But this whole sugya would be like not needed if we would just say it's a Dovah Shem Minyan. Why would you try to refute misvara If so, the pashup shot of the Gemara is that it's not a davar shebeminyan. Because if it be davar shebeminyan, so you're giving all these things a part of it. And we're going to see that there's a famous prechadish about this that seems to say what you're saying. But the simple pshat in this Gemara seems to be that it's not a davar shebeminyan. That's why the Gemara was asking, maybe we have this way out, we could prove it this way. But a davar shebeminyan means, even though I know all the proofs in the world, unilaterally, like you said before, it's awesome. But the Gemara never said that. So maybe that would imply that it's not a davar shebeminyan. That would be a tremendous kula. That if I have a way to say that the Metzius is clearly one way, we would accept it. Okay, to be continued. Okay, I want to again welcome everyone, and then welcome everyone on Zoom, Dr. Presby and Carol and Kesselman and Levitt, and a special welcome to Jason Finkelstein from Florida. He was an old Talmud of mine, and now is Baruch Hashem back in the Shir, Rav Harari, and all the new people who are here. Avram Kenner, Yosef Katad, Moshe Carroll, Jacob Silberger, and Jonah Moskov, and Ari Mandelman, and George Stevens, and Zachary, and Yehuda, Ishai.